Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled Mother's Day. Thank you to Dawn, Ed, and Rhonda for being part of the service. The scripture reading is 1 Thessalonians 2, 6-8. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well.
Good morning and welcome to our online service of the Beamsville Church of Christ again this Sunday. We're recording this on Mother's Day for most of you. You're a week ahead of that, but welcome to all of you. I'll have some announcements, I believe. Happy birthday to our dear friend Dorothy, who is celebrating it at the Jacob this year for the first time, and to Mark, who's celebrating his birthday in Ottawa. We're happy to have Daniel and Helene and their girls all out of quarantine now and living with Jeff and Janet and able to have access to the whole house, and even went and got takeout at Wendy's the other night, and I think they ate it on a picnic bench. And if you're listening, Helene and Daniel and the girls, we're so eager to meet Helene and the girls, and we're so sorry that you're here in this time of quarantine and that we can't just hug you and welcome you in person. And some of you might like to send them a card to make them feel welcome, and if you do, just send it to Jeff and Jen's address. A member of the church in Grimsby, I believe, her name is Sue, and she's waiting for results from a biopsy, and we need to keep her in our prayers along with many others. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you so much for all you do for us, and thank you for all the blessings and all the beauty of this world. We pray, God, for all the people in the world who are struggling at this time, especially the people in India where COVID is worse than it is here. And we pray that you will be with them. And God, give us all strength and give us determination and give us courage and help us to remember that you are our God. And thank you that we have this time to worship you and to renew ourselves spiritually, and we pray that the day will soon come that we can be together again, and that we can raise our collective hands and our collective hearts to you all in one place, and that we can hug each other, that we can visit with each other, and that we can be one together again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Very grateful that you've tuned in. We hope that your Mother's Day has been an exceptional one. And I want to spend just a little bit of time today talking about incredible women and incredible mothers, incredible people from Old and New Testament alike. Someone asked, actually, just recently, you know, what can women do in the church? And my answer, without any hesitation, was anything and everything. Spiritual gifts of God have been given to men and women. And one of my favorite passages in all the Bible happens at the day of Pentecost. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Well, what is prophecy? Prophecy is preaching. For many years, I used to think that prophecy is something in the future. No, prophecy is declaring forth the word of God. For example, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. That's a promise, that's a prophecy. That's a message from the word of God. Most of the Bible is all prophecy, forth telling the word of God. So I want to spend some time looking at some incredible women, Old and New Testament alike. And I know that you know of so many incredible women who are doing marvelous and wonderful things. Over the years, in many churches, particularly in our tradition, there were very few times when a woman would get up and preach a sermon. That's slowly dissipating. I enjoy going to the Pepperdine lectures, and on several occasions, women for the highlight lecture in the evening in front of thousands of people preached the word of the Lord. It was a wonderful occasion. At the end of the service that I was there, the message was great, but there was a standing ovation for, yes, this is what we've always wanted to be part of. Men and women serving equally with the gifts God has given them. And that those old-fashioned things that took place many years ago, and I don't mean to degrade anything, but the understanding of Scripture was so male-dominated that we forgot that God said His Holy Spirit was poured out on both women and men, and so that they can use their gifts as God has given them. So there are some pretty incredible women in the Bible. One of them is Miriam, who is the sister of Moses, and it says that she was a spiritual leader. I'm just going to read a number of passages, and I'm going to probably read so many and move along so quickly that you may not want to keep up with me. You can just follow along at your own leisure. But in Acts chapter 15, we're introduced to the song of Miriam. Now, you may recall the story that Moses and Aaron and Miriam lead the Israelites out of captivity, and you have to picture in your mind how many people would have left from that captivity. I'm sure hundreds of thousands of people had to come across, go through the Red Sea, and you know that story as well. But leading them was Miriam, and as they crossed over, Miriam, the sister of Moses, says these words, "I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God. I will exalt him." And even though Moses led the Israelites and Aaron led the Israelites, Miriam led the Israelites. And she sang this great, great song. But not only was she a leader, the Bible makes it very clear she was a prophet. She was a forth teller of the word of God. In chapter 15 of Exodus, in verse 20, it says this, "Then Miriam, the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with dancing, and Miriam sang to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver has been hurled into the sea.'" They are finally set free. The leadership of Moses, no doubt. The prophecy of Miriam was there in a profound way. Now I want to move on and look at another amazing woman of God. Her name was Deborah. You can find her in various places. Somebody once said about Deborah, maybe a little crass, but I thought it was pretty good. As far as this person was concerned, Deborah was president, prophet, and Rambo all in one. If you know who Rambo was, he was some big, strong person, all bundled up in one. She was an amazing prophet of God. She declared the word of God with no nonsense. Verse 4 in Judges chapter 4 says, "Now Deborah, a prophet," listen to this, "was leading the nation of Israel at that time." And someone says, well, there must have been no men then. Of course there were men. There were amazing men. But Deborah was gifted by God not only to declare forth the word of God, but to lead the children of Israel. She was leading Israel at that time. Those aren't my words. Judges chapter 4 in verse 4 says all of this. And then it says she was holding court between the palm of Deborah and Ramah and Bethel in the hill country. And she sent for Barak, who was a leader of God. "The Lord God of Israel commands you, go and take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jamin's army, with chariots and troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. And Barak, who was the commander of God, said these words. If you go with me, he's talking about Deborah, if you go with me, I will go. But Deborah, if you don't go with me, I won't go. This powerful woman of God, this Deborah, who was so dedicated to the word of God that she led Israel by example. She led the nation. She became the judge of judges. She made judicial decisions. She was Israel's political, military savior. She also led the nation spiritually, musically, legally, politically, and militarily. That is one impressive person. And she was doing this because she was led by God. And I suggest it's true today that many wonderful women and men of God who do great things for God don't take the praise. They know it's God's Holy Spirit working in them. And it's so great that we can read way back in the Old Testament how many great women leaders of God there were. And then I want to talk about this other woman who is an incredible woman. Her name, and she doesn't get much due, her name is Huldah. And you can find her in several places as well. And here's the story. For a long time, as you remember from Sunday school classes, Israel would be very, very close to God. They would follow the Ten Commandments. And then as time went on, they'd kind of back away. Sometimes they'd fall completely away. And sometimes they'd get into all kinds of horrible type of sacrifices and things that God never wanted Israel to be. And so a prophet of God or a prophetess of God would come along and try to bring them back to God. One such woman was Huldah. She was an amazing person. Now the story goes that because Israel had not been following the word of the Lord, they actually lost the word of the Lord. Someone says, well, what does that mean? Well, there was 10 commandments, and then there were the traditions that were taught by some of the prophets earlier, but they didn't have a Bible at that time. And they weren't following even what they had. And the word of the Lord had been lost, and no one really paid attention to it. And it says in verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said, I have found the book of the law. So you remember that when Moses was alive, he went up on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments of God. Those Ten Commandments of God really was the book that they followed their life. And then from that on, God would let Moses and Aaron and Miriam know, here's how you're to teach the Israelites. And so even though books like Leviticus and so forth, Deuteronomy, may not be our best books to read, there's a lot of law that's given out there for the benefit of Israel. Live this way. Men and women, live this way. But as time went on, pretty soon Israel said, you know, I see other nations that are doing great things, and we're not really doing that. And so many of the Israelites, and you can recall this from your Sunday school classes, they'd get close to God, they stay strong, then they'd fall away and they'd back away, and they would sacrifice to foreign gods and everything else until Huldah comes along. Someone finds the lost book of the Lord. They lost their Bible, and there was only one. And they didn't know what to do. And Israel had not been following God's law for a long, long time. And they find the book of the Lord, but they want to verify, is this really the book of the Lord? And the answer was, ask Huldah. Huldah would verify whether or not this is the word of the Lord. And this is what the Lord says about all of this. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to require of the Lord, this is what the Lord of God says concerning the words you have heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, and what you heard I have spoken against this place and its people, I will gather you, Huldah, to your ancestors, and you will live in peace. A lot of scriptures, I can't read all of them, so I skip some. But there's this idea of, if it wasn't for this exceptionally gifted woman of God, Huldah, who knows how many generations would have come and gone without even knowing the Lord. But one of the questions that needs to be asked is this. Were there no other prophets to ask? When you read the Old Testament, there are a lot of prophets. So when Israel had fallen away from God, and then the book of the law is found, and they reread it, and they tear their robes because they haven't been following it, and now they want to begin to follow it, even some of them say, well, is this really the word of the Lord? Is it true that this is the word of God? Who can we ask to verify that this is the word of the Lord? Weren't there any men prophets available to ask? Well, the answer is, yeah, there were a lot of men prophets available to be asked. A lot of them. They could have asked Jeremiah. He was alive then. They could have asked Zephaniah. He was alive then. They could have asked Nahum. He was available then. They could have asked Habakkuk. He was available to be asked, but they didn't want to ask them. Not that they wouldn't tell you the truth. They'd say yes, but there was something about this spiritually gifted woman prophet by the name of Huldah. And if she verifies this is the word of the Lord, then this is the word of the Lord. Can you imagine the emotion when Huldah says, this is absolutely the word of the Lord? So many people have been waiting. Is this really the book of God? And it really is. She not only said that it was, she also began to explain what the word of the Lord was. Really an incredible woman. So I look today on Mother's Day and I look at some of the incredible women and what they've done and what they continue to do for us. And somebody asked, well, what do spiritually gifted women do for the nation of Israel? They do whatever God asked them to do for Israel. What do significantly gifted women of God do for us today? They do for us today as they are given gifts by God, and they do tremendous gifts. Whatever spiritual gift anyone has received, use it to serve the Lord. Isn't that what Paul talks about? Women spoke for God. Women speak for God today. Women led the nation in every department of Old Testament, and they still do today. Women verified the truth of Scripture because they knew the Scripture, and they do that today. They preached. They foretold the word of God. And I think that we've been really slow in really encouraging our women to preach because they haven't had that opportunity. But God has never said no. It's allowing God's Spirit to really let us listen to our so many powerful women of God. A number of years ago, when we would gather on Sunday evenings, we would have somewhat of a contemporary service, and there were lots of people coming from different places and so forth. And I really, really enjoyed listening to various women when they would get up and share thoughts and so forth. It's a really wonderful experience that I hope that would be ongoing as the future begins. For those of us that have grandchildren, granddaughters, looking forward to the time that they'll be standing up behind the pulpit and sharing a message of God, and letting God's Spirit really flow from them. Won't that be wonderful? In Acts 2, when the church began and the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, Peter spoke these words that are so beautiful. In these last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. They will preach. They will declare the word of the Lord. Okay, so I'm almost finished, but I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but Romans chapter 16 is really a chapter that many of us don't read. And there are a lot of books in the Bible like that. Some books in the Bible begin with a genealogy. And let's face it, how many of us read every single name in the genealogies? Number one, we don't know how to pronounce their names sometimes. We don't really know who they are, except all the way to the end. Last week, I preached a sermon, talked about the genealogy of Jesus. It comes from Abraham all the way through. Genealogy is, I guess, an important thing, but we don't really know the names. But in Romans chapter 16, there are names listed who are profound workers of God. For example, in chapter 16 of Romans, beginning in the first verse, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church. And I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way that is worthy of his people and to give her the help that she may need from you, for she has been a benefactor of many people, including me. And then they talk about probably a husband team, Priscilla and Aquila, who are co-workers. And then they list all of these names. I won't pronounce them because I may not pronounce them properly at all. But there are these people who are really powerful because of their humility. They're powerful because of their humility. Their humility in their love for God and their love for one another. In verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord, my dear friend Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. And then the list goes on and on and on. And at the end of this, at the end of that long list, come these words. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all Gentiles might come to faith and obedience, to the only wise God be glory forever in Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of men and women who use their spiritual gifts for the glory of God and the teaching of other people. I want to conclude by just reading two other passages. There's one passage in Mark chapter 14 that doesn't get its due. We've seldom preached this sermon, this story. It's not lengthy, but it's a beautiful story in Romans chapter 14. Jesus is involved, and a woman here is involved as well. It says, now that Passover, this is chapter 14 and verse 1 of Mark, now the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and to kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why waste this perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. But they rebuked her. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing. But you're not always going to have me. The poor you will always have. But you're not always going to have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare my burial. And then these wonderful words. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. 2,000-year-old story that still is being told today. Wonderful women, wonderful leaders of God. And then I would be remiss if I didn't just spend a little bit of time in Proverbs 31. This is sometimes called the wife of noble character. I also want to include this as the mother of noble character. It's a beautiful story. I'm not going to read every single verse, but I'll highlight just a few and then I'll be finished. This woman, this wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good and not harm. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 20. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed with scarlet. And then in verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. How many people do you know who just love their mom? And they hear the story of not only do they love their mom, but that their mom loved their mom, and on and on and on. And then it concludes by saying, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Give her the reward that she has earned, and let her works bring praise. I'm so grateful. It's taken a long time, but I'm so grateful that women are using their spiritual gifts of God for the benefit of others when they are asked to. And I hope that as years go on, this pulpit will be used not just by men, but by many women using the wonderful gifts that God has given them that will bless us in the next generations forever and ever. Amen.
Sometimes occasions like Mother's Day can be confusing times. Not everybody had a positive relationship with their mother. And sometimes there's heartache. Sometimes women who wanted to be mothers weren't able to be mothers. So for them, it's a difficult day. But if you've had a mother and you're married to a mother, and you have a daughter who's a mother, and you have sons that are married to women who are mothers, it's a lot to think about and to celebrate on a day like today. And I hope that everybody gives honor to the mothers that they have in their lives. It's interesting to me that Jesus had a relationship with his mother as well. And reading in John chapter 19, beginning in verse 25, it says, meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, and Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, woman, here is your child. Then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into the disciple's own home. After this, knowing that all was now finished, Jesus said, in order to fulfill the scriptures, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. Having received the wine, Jesus said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up the Spirit. So here's Jesus hanging on the cross, being the sacrifice for our sin. And he sees his mother, and he has to take care of her. He needs to take care of her before he passes. So he acknowledges her and makes sure that she's looked after. What a great story. And then in verse 28 it says, after this, knowing that all was now finished, his last act was taking care of his mother. And Jesus was a person who was interested in people. He was interested in high officials and scribes and Pharisees. He was interested in what they had to say. He would dialogue with them. Sometimes he was pretty aggressive with them and trying to correct them. But he hung out with people. He went to the home of Zacchaeus. He went into homes and healed. He performed miracles to help people. What a great example he is for all of us. And I think as we celebrate Jesus and his relationship with his mother, that some of us can see some of the relationships that we've had with our mothers and see their godly nature and their care for us and their spiritual leadership in the homes that we grew up in and on throughout our lifetime. So at this time, as we partake of the bread that reminds us of Jesus' broken body, we remember a Jesus who saves us from our sins, but also a Jesus who took care of his mother. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for Jesus. We're grateful for his example to us of sacrifice and humility, his willingness to die for us, but also to recognize that he took care of people, and that in our lives, as we celebrate Jesus and as we celebrate his life and as we remember him, we pray, Father, that we might also be reminded of how to take care of those around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, as we think of that time when Jesus was hanging on the cross, the blood running down the cross, and that blood washing away our sins, we pray, Father, that we might be thankful, and our thanksgiving for this great sacrifice might lead us to being thankful in our lives as we try to serve you and emulate Christ in our daily lives. We pray your blessing on that as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen.
For our closing prayer today, I'm going to paraphrase Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12, because Paul is saying everything that I would want to say, and he says it more eloquently than I ever could. Dear God, we pray that you will fill us with the knowledge of your will, with all the wisdom and understanding that your Spirit gives. We pray that we will be able to live lives that you would want, and that we will always do what pleases you. We pray that our lives will be full of good deeds, and that we will grow in our knowledge of you. We pray that you will make us strong, and with the strength that comes with your glory, that we will be able to endure everything that comes our way in these challenging times, and that we will be patient. We pray that we will be full of joy because of our connection with you. Dear God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. Scripture quotations marked NRSV are from the New Revised Standard Version Bible. Copyright 1989, National Council of the Churches of Christ in the United States of America. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.